It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 18th day of August 2020. Where is August going and why is it going so quickly? February never moves this quickly. Well, it's because it's cold. Yeah, see, that's my Northern Hemisphere bias showing there. I know. It seems like August is racing by. Hi, I'm Bob, and it is Trump Panic Tuesday on the horn, a day for celebrating, or at least denoting, those moments in which white wing maggot geniuses see the iceberg looming on the horizon and declare,
full speed ahead, we'll show that iceberg. That iceberg doesn't, it only thinks it's 170 gajillion tons. It's not really.
Yep, right. Ah, well. Yeah, but here we are Tuesday. And, of course, the early arrivers have gathered over in the Horn chat room. If you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all times in the middle and the great globe around. Well, just run on by and grab yourself a screen name and a password if you never have before. And Alien Jimmy will greet you, as will Jimmy and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and other folks who will be arriving presently. You'll also be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has a union contract that says he does not have to fold space in months that don't have R's in them. Because where Sparky does his space folding, it gets right nasty hot this time of year. Sparky's crossing his fingers right now, hoping that there won't be a brownout during the 3 hours of the program. Right. So, we'll join you in that finger crossing, Sparky. Ugh, I'm kidding. Well, someday, when we've all got renewable, sustainable energy, maybe there will be a way to not have things like brownouts. I'm sure the coal industry would say, "Well, you wouldn't never have no brownouts. You guys just burnt some coal." No, it just people just die. Right. Mm-hmm. Because coal kills. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's our modern world, isn't it? Every program here at the Gaunt Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. So, consequently, thanks go out for this 18th day of the month to our 18th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thanks to a dear friend overseas. Thank you to Grace. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. And what that means is the fundraising goal for this evening is at $370. 10 at 37, 37 at 10, 2 at, oh my God, do I have to divide that in 2 at 185? Is that it? Something like that? Well, anyway, we're going to try to knock some of that out so that we're not so desperately in search of a Friday on the front porch miracle come Friday. Oh, what's that? Another school? Can't quite... yeah, how about that? Wall Street Journal reporting this afternoon that for at least the next 2 weeks, Notre Dame is moving to online-only classes because that religious school cannot contain the Rona. Mm-hmm. In-person classes have been canceled, and they will be online only for at least 2 weeks after they spiked. Yesterday was a week into classes, and out of 418 students, 80 students tested positive. So that's a 19% positive test rate for Notre Dame. Why, one might wonder, are they having a spike? Well, because college parties. Because the spike there at Notre Dame is linked to at least a pair of big bashes off campus. And most of the people testing positive for the Rona are seniors and guys. It carries some consequences. The president of Notre Dame, Reverend John Jenkins, has said that if the number of cases continues to rise, he may have to order students to leave campus and go home. Yeah. Maybe that'll get somebody's attention. Don't know. There are nearly 12,000 students at Notre Dame. Every last one of them was tested before they returned to campus. And out of those 12,000, only 33 students, 0.28%, tested positive. But everybody's excited to go back to school, so everybody wants to go to off-campus parties and LARP and smolik and lollygag and grab a late and waller all over each other and spew and spray viral particles and stuff. Yeah. As of yesterday, a total of 927 students had been tested. 147 of them were positive. That's a 16% positive rate. So there won't be any quarantines over the next couple of weeks, but there also won't be any in-person classes. They'll take their classes either in their dorm rooms or in off-campus apartments. And the university is moving toward more testing of non-symptomatic people in order to try to figure out how the damn thing is community spreading. Of course, yesterday, the University of North Carolina, a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference, Athletic Conference, which is still is hell-bent on playing football, apparently, and had declared, well, we're all going to go, we is all going to go to in-class school. And that lasted precisely not at all. They managed to get through a week of classes, and they got 135 cases of COVID-19 out of it. Because, again, people who were living off campus just somehow couldn't quite bring themselves to engage in social distancing. Which, interestingly, and yes, we will get to talking about other stuff besides the Rona. But this goes hand in hand with something that I think it was our buddy Irwin. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. My buddy Irwin up in Montana sent along a piece of information from the Vancouver Sun. And this is, I guess it's not shocking, but it's a little bit disheartening, I suppose. According to a poll by an outfit called Angus Reid, well, they wanted to find out if Canadians would be willing to identify how seriously they were taking the pandemic. Here's a big surprise. If you're Canadian and you vote for conservative governments, if you are a center-right to right hard right-wing Canoodlian, well, you are more likely to be what they refer to in this Vancouver Sun article as a cynical spreader. Man, that's a damning phrase, isn't it? A cynical spreader. One in five Canadians are cynical spreaders. They refuse to do a damn thing to try to fight the spread of the disease. They don't social distance. They don't care about wearing masks. They pretty much don't care about hand washing either. That's compared to 47% of Canadians who are infection fighters. They follow the guidelines. And then there's 36% of Canadians who, they're kind of wishy-washy, but with not near enough of the washy part of the wishy-washy. British Columbia itself, where Vancouver is, 18% are cynical spreaders, 40% are infection fighters, and then 42% are inconsistent. And Manitoba and British Columbia are tied at the highest percentage of any province in Canada for inconsistency of response. If you're under 35 in Canada, you're more likely to not be following the guidelines for social distancing, mask wear, cleansing. Yeah. Who takes it most seriously? People 55 and over. And of course, 18 to 24 are the most likely to be cynical spreaders. Here's the other breakout, though, and I imagine it probably works considerably like this in the new 90 states of Merca, too. Namely, if you are Canadian and you voted Liberal or NDP, you're four times less likely than conservative voters to be a scofflaw about the rules. If you are university educated in Canada, you're less likely to be a cynical spreader. How about that? It's curious because I saw some polling data this morning while I was engaging in my filthy morning habit that suggested that, and I think it was polling data out of Wisconsin, the breakout for college-educated voters in Wisconsin between Biden and Trump is huge. Or as Bart Kopp, wherever his soul may be, used to spell it, huge. So, and Wisconsin's terribly important in all of this. The less educated you are, the more likely you are to be, that's right, a maggot. Steve in New York pointing out, so conservatives are turds everywhere. Pretty much. I don't know how to say it any more gently. The militia weirdos are becoming more active and hooting and hollering and barking and braying and spraying and streaming and screaming and we did barking, didn't we? Yeah. About how we're going to lose our constitutional government because wear a mask. It's in the Constitution. I don't go wear no mask. Right. And by the way, Steve wants to help get us started this evening. I'm going to put up a $15 challenge, he says. I'm going to try this again. But I need 15 bucks to come in from a new contributor. Now, pay very close attention, because this is really a nice treat. If we can get somebody who's never contributed to the program before to kick in 15 bucks, Steve will match that. And then, if you send me your address, I'll send it on to Steve. And Steve will send you, from New York, the home of great, great bagels the world over, Steve will send you a half a dozen New York bagels and cream cheese. Holy cow. Is that worth getting him to match your 15 bucks? So if you've never kicked into the program before, there's a half a dozen New York bagels with cream cheese waiting for you, but only for one of you. We can't have a whole bunch of new contributors jump. It's just an experiment. This is just one person. And thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started. That means that we're at 365. Thank you, Jeremy. Kyle noting, gee, maybe it's not such a bright idea to put a bunch of people close together inside while a pandemic's raging in the country. Who'd have thunk it? You know, I know it's not who would have, it's more a question of who wouldn't have. And we know the answer to that, don't we, Kyle? Birthers, deathers, baggers, birchers, ninthers, tenthers, maggots, trumpansies, libertarians, Republicans, that's who. That's who wouldn't thunk it. And so, let me check in here with a couple of other notes. We have a note from Unbillable Rick. You know, we've got Billable Rick in Southern California, and we've also got Unbillable Rick. Bob, so far there's not been very much said on the networks, but I find it interesting that the Senate Intelligence Panel latest report ties up a lot of loose ends on how the Russian GRU messed with the 2016 elections, and that Mr. Mueller did not go far enough in his investigation, and a lot of what Mr. Steele said was correct. I've spent a lot of my adult life learning on about how to fight Russians. Their intelligence organizations are very good at what they do. They've been at it since 1917. I believe they're more dangerous now than when there was a Soviet Union, and the only defense we have is to inform voters that the Russian threat is very real. From Eastern Washington, signed Unbillable Rick. Rick, you're absolutely right. The only place where I would take issue with you is that it predates 1917. And I'm sure you'll very likely agree with me when I point this out. One of the most pernicious, hateful, vicious, disgusting pieces of anti-Semitic racism that the world has ever known was generated by the Tsar's secret police before the October 1917 revolution. You know what I'm talking about. The protocols of the learned elders of Zion. It fancies itself a secret report on a group of old Jewish men who are discussing their goals for controlling world commerce, banking, everyday life. And it continues well past 100 years now to circulate to this very day. So I think that only strengthens Unbillable Rick's argument. And the report was damning indeed. Maybe it should get a little bit more airplay, perhaps at the convention, dare I say it? Although they're trying very desperately to go high now that the maggots are so utterly committed to going low. And that's another part of the discussion to have this evening. And before I go there, perhaps it would be wise to check in on this note. Bob! You know when you hear a note begin with that, you know who's sending it. Bob! Last night I really did not care to watch the Democratic Convention, primarily considering John Kasich was going to be speaking, and I had no interest in watching this wolf in sheep's clothing spew his baffling sheepish bullshit. I decided to watch a movie under the stars with my wife on our deck. I made the correct decision, as the galaxy was amazing last night. The movie had just ended when all of a sudden I hear Giraffe yelling for me to come upstairs and watch Michelle Obama. I did just that and was so glad I did. I listened to Giraffe, as Michelle Obama ripped into Trump, ripped him a new one. I saw a clip of Rachel Maddow this morning describing the speech as riveting, and Giraffe and I both agreed as we watched Michelle dismantle Trump last night. As always, Giraffe made a very high-minded observation following Obama's address. Why didn't Hillary Clinton choose Michelle Obama as her running mate in 16? Giraffe queried. It would have been the perfect pick, considering the Obama legacy would have continued in the White House and Michelle Obama would have energized African Americans, many of whom did not vote in 16. As for all those who would have complained about her having never run for office, well, you maggot morons, neither did the asshole you voted for, so shut the hell up. I love Giraffe, Joey says. He always takes the high road. I had to agree with Giraffe because I did not understand the logic of choosing an old white man, Tim Kaine, for VP. It made no sense to me. In my mind, another obvious possibility was Julian Castro of Texas. Castro would have been an excellent choice, considering he was only 42 in 2016 as a minority and would have energized and possibly turned Texas blue. And so, on this Trump-tanic Tuesday, Clinton's choice of Tim Kaine was a titanic mistake, considering Kaine was not able. I know, he went a long way for that one. Kaine was not able to help Hillary. This has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the 18th day of August, with Giraffe high on Harris for this country's next vice president. Well, let me take a moment to look at that. First and foremost, for why didn't Hillary choose Michelle Obama, is the fact that the 13th Amendment bars involuntary servitude. And you can't make somebody take a job that she doesn't want. Michelle Obama wants to be involved in politics about the same way that I want to be involved in, accounting. In other words, I have no talent for it, and no desire to do it, and would far prefer to leave it to people who actually know what they're doing in that realm. You see what I mean? I can remember the program the evening that Tim Kaine was announced, and all of us, pretty well progressive people, were sort of mystified at how or why Tim Kaine would be the choice. But of course, there were so many calculations. It would be a bridge too far to have two women running to run the country. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's probably how it played. And the idea of having somebody that could solidify Virginia was in play. Yeah. Ugh. Lost opportunities. But Michelle Obama was never going to be part of that calculus. And she didn't want to be part of the calculus this year. She didn't want to run for president. She doesn't want to be anybody's vice presidential running. Michelle Obama has no interest in the White House. And I can hardly blame her. I would not even begin to try. Especially in light of what she has been put through in the course of 8 years as First Lady. Let's see. How did that woman here in West Virginia refer to her? A ape in heels. And that was one of the more mild responses. And so I think that answers most of it. But the question I have is more in line with her reissuing last night of the concept of when they go low, we go high. She gave a profound address, and she tried to counter, remember, she's trained as a lawyer too, the argument about when they go low, we go high, and that, well, as a general statement of principle, there's a lot of people who think that partakes just a little bit of too much kumbaya. The mental image that I've always gotten when I hear that sort of thing is the scene from Animal House where John Belushi's Bluto Blutarski is coming down the stairs, and there's this terribly, terribly sensitive young man with a classical guitar serenading a terribly, terribly sensitive young woman. I gave, because it's that time, okay, the flowering of folk music in America, and I gave my love a cherry that had, and we get about that far in before John Belushi's Bluto Blutarski takes the guitar by the neck and smashes it into a million tiny pieces against the wall. So, last night, Michelle Obama tried to, retool When They Go Low, We Go High 2.0. And she redefined it as the only thing that works, going high means taking the harder path. And then, as Joey noted, proceeded to gut Donald Trump like a carp without ever raising her voice. On the other hand, it was interesting to me to hear something that I've been saying for months, if not years, echoed in her words. Hi, Michelle, speech writing team. How you doing? Good to see you. We've got to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris like our lives depend on it. The only difference being that I always add to that line,
because they do. They do. So, all told, it was a great wrap up to a first night of a convention that very easily could have been hamstrung out of the gate, because it was so very much not what conventions have traditionally been. Because, especially in the last 50, 60 years, conventions, political conventions, have been performance art set pieces. With lots of roving camera angles of delegates wearing silly hats and interviews with the delegate, the random delegates on the floor. None of that was available. But among other things, the opening last night partook of a somber tone that I thought was entirely entirely appropriate, insofar as they invited the Democratic Party invited George Floyd's two brothers to speak about how much they miss their brother and what was taken from them personally and from those who knew and loved George Floyd when those Minneapolis cops murdered him in cold blood. There was then a moment of silence, and then the event moved on. It was done tastefully. It was done decently. And I'm sure that that moment alone had the maggots barking mad. Michelle Obama certainly got deeply under Nitwit Nero's skin. Oh, and by the way, the Lincoln Project folks, give those people credit for being who they are and doing what they do so well. In response to Michelle Obama, they tweeted good-naturedly, "We go low, so you don't have to, hashtag DNC 2020. And they are past masters at it. This is the legacy of people like Lee Atwater. This is the Republican Party that turned Willie Horton into a campaign trope that had in 1988 white America shaking in its boots for fear that some desperate criminal black man was going to come and rape and kill their mothers and daughters and father rapers and mother stabbers and everything. Remember? This was, that's their legacy. That's who they are. It's how they play. And for now, well, the enemy of our enemy is our friend. And just like Joey said, he didn't get much care for listening to John Kasich. Didn't matter to me either. I particularly sort of winced at the idea of when he said, people tell me that they think Joe Biden will turn hard left if he gets in the White House. Well, you know, what refugees from Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium think that with anything resembling a functioning human primate brain? The answer is, of course, zero. Because anybody who says, "Well, Joe Biden, he's going to turn us communist." Well, at the very most, those people are operating with a lizard brain and certainly not their big primate brain. And that's why they're maggots. So John Kasich was there to try to help peel away about 4 or 5% of the Republican electorate, which might be enough to put Joe Biden in the White House, assuming we count all the votes. And therein lies another matter entirely. So we'll have another night of it tonight, and another night of it tomorrow night, and another night of it, you know. Darlene pointing out, my, what a difference a few years make. Why are the words, Donald Trump may not be great for America, but he's great for CBS, ringing loudly in my ears right now? The Democratic convention's underway with an all-inclusive rainbow of elected leaders, community members, and everyday citizens speaking out about their hope for a better world. The decision to use Bruce Springsteen's The Rising as a throwback to 2004 was inspired, I thought. And it was done, of course, with Bruce Springsteen's complete cooperation and agreement. Because, well, decent human beings can get the cooperation of famous entertainers, as opposed to the Republican National Committee that has to steal music and rely on people like Scott Baio and the MyPillow dude. More on the MyPillow dude in a minute. The Republicans are trying to pull together their guest list, and it will feature Donald Trump every night. Now, the Democratic convention is not featuring Joe Biden every night. But since Donald Trump is Donald Trump, he has to be the constant, persistent center of attention, sort of the way that when you get a bad case of the clap, the fact that it hurts like hell to take a leak becomes the center of attention. How about that? Donald Trump, the clap as a metaphor for Donald Trump's need for attention. Who knows? That may show up somewhere out there again sometime. Among other things that they're going to be celebrating, hoping to nail down the maggot youth vote, smirking MAGA kid, the kid who put his face up in front of a Native American protester in a drum circle a few years back. The more humorous side of the social media left said, "Oh, great. Well, I guess we'll get Stanford rapist Brock Turner and Jeffrey Epstein's ghost and Hitler's dog walker and the singers from the KKK choir." But the bottom line, as Darlene points out, is that TV networks have a real case of the creeps about putting up 2 hours of that for four nights. Yeah. That from the Daily Beast. Daily Beast sources said, "This year another explanation was offered for keeping the broadcast short. Uncertainty over what airing President Donald Trump's coronation event might look and sound like." One source said, "We don't know what that content's going to be." The result was that the Democrats provided the networks with a detailed schedule of speakers and videos, while the Republicans' convention schedule is still a moving target. In the end, the networks have decided to broadcast the conventions from 10 to 11 p.m. each night, though often the events run longer, while cable news nets have generally said they'll cover from 9 p.m. onward. CNN and MSNBC carried both hours last night. On the other hand, we may be inching ever closer to that glorious moment where, standing behind the podium, he begins to tear at his clothes. Best recalled with that clip that we use from time to time on Wednesdays,
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Tell me you can't imagine that. As he begins tearing at his clothing, removing his tie. Because he's been having a fit all day long over Michelle Obama's speech. And that's only the first burn. That's only the first touch of the match that was blown out and laid against his orange hide.
It's clear that Michelle Obama recorded her speech a long time ago because she got the death rate wrong. She said there were 150,000 dead. There's 170,000 dead. Yeah. She was low energy.
Imagine thinking that pointing out you've killed 20,000 more people is a winning strategy. It would not surprise me in the least. James in Illinois says maybe the RNC will light a cross. Well, if they don't, I'm sure that some of the maggots will at the after parties. And by the way, in addition to the vote like your lives depend on it, Darlene in Connecticut points out she also echoed you when she earnestly reiterated that things can and will only continue to get worse with Trump. And maybe people need to be reminded of that. Oh, there was some damning stuff in there last night. The young woman whose 65-year-old daddy died of the Dondemic, who said my father was an otherwise healthy 65-year-old. The only thing he did wrong was to trust Donald Trump. Ooh! Because in the rough and tumble, the hurly-burly of American politics, most American politicians, it's politics. But Donald Trump can't do that. Because he knows this is personal. And we know he knows this is personal. And he knows we know he knows this is personal. It's a very knowledgeable election. And of course, it is absolutely true. Nothing is ever going to get better under him. But now, looping back to what Unbillable Rick said about the Senate report, it's a shame that, and maybe it was by design that it came out when it did, but holy cow. What it boils down to is the Senate Intelligence Committee was able to consider things that Robert Mueller was not. And what I mean by that, Mueller was constrained to only consider things that could lead to some sort of a conviction. And that's what made it a sort of a con right out of the gate. Because he said, well, I knew that I couldn't charge the president with anything because the president's above the law. Can't be charged. Can't be indicted. So that meant that even if he had hard evidence, 10 instances of obstruction of justice, that sort of thing that was in there, he couldn't bring the other stuff that was just sleazy as hell. The Senate Intelligence Committee didn't feel any such compulsions. And so consequently, the Senate report that was released, David Frum, who we were discussing last night, said it was everything but a signed and notarized confession. The final report coming out, Senator Mark Warner, a Democrat of Virginia, said, quote, a breathtaking level of contacts between Trump officials and Russian government operatives that is a very real counterintelligence threat to our elections. Among other things, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence said that Trump solicited, welcomed, and benefited from Russian interference, but that there wasn't sufficient evidence to charge anyone with a crime. We now know that there were direct orders given on when to release the stolen emails. WikiLeaks and Mother Russia. They did everything but recommend Christopher Steele for the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Okay, that may be a little bit over the top, but not by much. But of everything that was in there, in that report, the real OMG moment may have come with the revelation that just as Nitwit Nero sent little mash notes to Kim Jong Bad Golf Pants, so too he sent at least one crush note to lovable, huggable, snugglable, cuddlable Vlad Pooty. I mean, we've got the letter. Goes back to December of 2007 when Nitwit Nero was trying to cajole, connive, what have you, himself a hotel property in Moscow. And you might recall that Time magazine had named Trump its man of the year. Now, this is being man of the year is something that Trump has ached for, yearned for, dreamed of, to the point that he even had fake Time magazine covers ginned up with his face on them. Utterly oblivious, one would presume, of the fact that, well, other Time magazine men of the year included Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Ayatollah Khomeini. And so it was that on December the 19th, 2007, on official Trump Organization letterhead, well, you can imagine the scene in the office there.
Take a letter. I want to send a letter to President Putin.
And so there it is. President Vladimir Putin. If you ever wanted to know the big bad Vladdy Daddy's mailing address, well, here it is. Because President Shit for Brains has it in his Rolodex.
President Vladimir Putin, Russian Federation, 4 Staraya Square, Moscow, 103-132. There's an extra number there. I thought zip codes only had 5 numbers. Moscow, 103-132. Dear President Putin, I'm writing this wearing my little red lace nightie. I hear you like the color red. No, that's not there. That's not there. What are you wearing?
Not there.
Congratulations on being named Time Magazine's Man of the Year. You definitely deserve it. as you probably have heard, I'm a big fan of yours. Take care of yourself. With best wishes, sincerely. And then that scrawl that looks like a bunch of Klansmen. Donald J. Trump.
What? No XOXOXO? No SWAK?
I'm a big fan of yours.
Big fan. And so, in yesterday's program, we talked about the ad that came out from the former chief of staff of the Department of Homeland Security. And just the little tidbit that was in that piece is apparently, and apropos to this particular broadcast day, apparently that was just the tip of the iceberg. Because, of course, ABC got former DHS Chief of Staff Miles Taylor on for an interview this morning. And thanks to Dave Number 11 for sending this along. It made it a lot easier to find. Well, by the time that had aired, COVID Caligula was already miles, see what I did there? Miles Taylor, was already miles into,
he was a low-level functionary, disgruntled employee, never heard of him.
And how did you know he was disgruntled, Dick?
Never heard of him.
Which then compelled Miles Taylor to put out via Twitter a photograph of him and Nitwit Nero looking into the camera, giving the thumbs up sign back when Miles Taylor was so, so very happy to be part of the dismantling of America. And so then this, which does not bode well for, well, as the nearer we get, the more they're going to stoke the stroke.
Right now, Miles, thank you for joining us this morning. Let's start out with those criticisms from the White House. Two criticisms, basically. One, you're trying to cash in on your public service. And number two, Jared Kushner is basically suggesting that you were fired. What's your response?
So, George, first and foremost, thanks for having me this morning. Look, I'll say this. As far as cashing in goes, in Donald Trump's Washington, there's no doubt that doing this is going to be tough for me reputationally, professionally, and it's certainly going to take a hit at my pocketbook. This has nothing whatsoever to do about money. This has to do about being honest about the president and putting country before party. As far as Jared goes, look, he and I got along quite well during the administration. My point here is not to slander anyone else that served under the president. My focus is on the character of the president himself, which is what this election is going to be about.
What were the circumstances of you leaving the administration?
Yeah, so I left the administration on my own terms, and I'll be really frank with you about this, George. I left the administration because I got to a point where saying no was no longer enough. We were constantly in a position with the president where it's not that he would just tell us to do things that we would say are inappropriate, unethical, or illegal. It's that he would continue to consistently tell us to do those same things. That was an enormous frustration, and when I realized we weren't going to be able to pull him back from some of these impulses, it meant it was time to go. So I left on my own volition, and look, I'll say this. The administration offered up a number of jobs that in any other administration would have been dream jobs for me. But at that point, I was done, and I needed to leave.
Well, what do you say to those who say you should have left earlier? You were part of the family separation policy, which you now decry. You actually publicly defended it sometimes. Some progressives are saying right now, you know, it's not good enough. You should have realized sooner that this was not something that could be saved.
Yeah, look, I'm glad you brought up family separation. That was actually a policy that was developed before I took on my role as deputy chief of staff in the department, before becoming chief of staff. Attorney General Sessions announced that a few days after I stepped into that role, and before then I'd been John Kelly's counterterrorism advisor, so not focused on immigration. That said, family separation was a mistake. How that played out is a textbook example of government wrong, government gone wrong, and a textbook example of how this president has created an environment where bad policy decisions get made. Now, fortunately, a few months into that, when we realized this was the train wreck that Secretary Nielsen had said behind the scenes, this is going to be a train wreck, we got the White House to issue an executive order to put an end to the policy. But here's the bigger concern, George. Every single month I served in that administration, after we ended family separation, the president would come to us and say, not only he wanted to reinstart it, he wanted to double down and implement a deliberate policy of ripping any kid apart from their parents that showed up at the border. Any kid at the border. That was stunning to me. I mean, frankly, it was one of the most disheartening and disgusting things I've ever experienced in public service, and that significantly contributed to me wanting to leave this administration.
You also said the president wanted to withhold FEMA disaster aid from California during the wildfires. What fires are you talking about there? What happened with the aid? How is it communicated that it should be withheld?
George, I wish I could tell you this was a one-time thing. In fact, it's not lost to me that today we're talking about California wildfires, because the first time we went through this was in 2018. And the president at the time would get into these phone rants with us, the secretary and myself, about Jerry Brown and how frustrated he was with Jerry Brown and later Gavin Newsom because they didn't support him. And he didn't feel like he had a base of supporters in California. So as wildfires were burning down houses in the state, the president basically said to us, I don't care. These people haven't done enough to deserve it. Cut off the money. In fact, that phone call that I referenced with FEMA officials, the secretary and I were so concerned because we didn't want our senior leadership to be exposed to how undisciplined and tumultuous the White House was, because it made it harder for them to do their jobs. So after that call, FEMA officials said, what do we do? The president has just told us to cut off money to people whose homes are burning down. Our answer was, we're not going to do it. Don't worry, we'll go back to the president. But then, George, months after it, again in January 2019, the president said he wanted to do it. And again, I think subsequently, he tweeted about doing it. Fortunately, it never happened. FEMA didn't follow through on it because I think they ultimately determined from the lawyers that a tweet wasn't an official order. But this is what we're talking about here, having to play whack-a-mole with bad presidential decisions rather than just doing the work of governing.
Do you expect more of your former colleagues to speak out now as we head into the final days of this campaign?
So I can't get into too much detail on it, George, but I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
The president hasn't heard the last of us. In fact, me speaking out yesterday, you could think of it as an opening salvo. And I'm not going to mention any other names yet, but the president can expect that in the coming weeks and months leading up to the election, he is going to hear from more people that served in his administration, and he is going to hear more of them gave the same testimonies that I gave, which is that he's ill-equipped to hold the office that he has, and that a second term would be more dangerous than a first term. You'll hear that soon.
Miles Taylor, thanks very much. Michael?
Well, that's reassuring. As Dave number 11 pointed out, though, we're talking about the fires in Paradise, California, which you'll recall he couldn't even repeat the name of without fucking up. Because, well, as Jim Kirk said to Khan, you're always missing the mark. What was it? I bet Sparky remembers. What did he call Paradise, Sparky? Whatever. Sorry, sounds like somebody's taking a little target practice outside. That's always reassuring. Yep, that's definitely gunfire. Great. But he couldn't even remember the name of Paradise, California. And what Dave number 11 pointed out was Paradise, California is Trump country. You'd think somebody would have told him. Ah, there we go. Thank you. Thank you to Ralphs and Steve in New York and James. Pleasure. He called it Pleasure, California. Pleasure, what a name. I know. He's not home, but we know that. And we've been all over that ground as to, you know, how do you get, how do you get a demented president out of office? Well, so far it appears that the answer to that is you let the demented president let a pandemic run wild through the country. You let probably more than 200,000 people die. And then you hope that the demented president and the monstrosities and misanthropes who surround him aren't successful in, well, fucking over the election. How demented? Well, this is from yesterday's road trip. I missed this one somehow or another yesterday. It's only 19 miserable little seconds, but wow, so much stupid, so much demented can be packed into 19 seconds.
And we moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. That's for the evangelicals. You know, it's amazing with that. The evangelicals are more excited about that. The Jewish people. It's really, right?
It's incredible. Now, I know the audio wasn't so good. But just in case it didn't come across, he declared we, I guess him and that mouse in his pocket, moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. We, the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, forever under God, do not have the power to move anybody's capital anywhere except perhaps our own.
We moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem.
But what's even more astonishing is what comes after that.
That's for the evangelicals.
He admitted. He confessed that he engaged in public policy and foreign policy specifically to placate the religious element of his base. At almost 4 years, you'd like to go, wow, but it's more like he's moved into the confessional phase of his dementia. The things that he starts babbling when he's completely gone, oh my. And then that line,
the evangelicals are more excited by that than Jewish people.
Which proves that he doesn't know anything about this premillennial, postmillennial, millennialist horse shit. He doesn't understand why the evangelicals want that. Because the evangelicals are looking forward to killing them some Jews. Because, see, they think that Jesus is going to come back in his holy rolls. And he's going to point to all the Jewish people of the world and say, confess that I'm the Son of God. And when they don't, he's going to look at Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and all of those little freaks and all their little minions and say, gig 'em like frogs, kill 'em all. Not kidding. That's what it's all about. And that's where we are. So that gets us in. That gets us through the filibobster. We're done with the first hour of the program. Thank you to Cat in Ohio. for jumping in. Thank you, Kat, very kindly. That gets us down to 340. Thank you very kindly indeed. And last night on the program, of course, we talked about Mike Lindell and his oleander snake oil. Now, we already know, by virtue of what was said about disinfectants and hydroxychloroquine and whatnot, that the maggots are so cerebrally limited that some of them will do anything he tells them to do. There was the maggot couple in Arizona who used fish tank cleaner, which contains chloroquine. The husband died and the wife had to fight for her life. The CDC reported vast numbers in this country of people misusing sanitizers and disinfectants. By the way, the recall list is growing of unscrupulous producers who have included wood alcohol in their hand sanitizer. Please be careful in the choices that you make. That's part of the reason that I go to the liquor store for my hand sanitizer. I don't know about anywhere else, but in West Virginia now, you can't get anything stronger than 151 proof grain neutral spirits, which is 75%. And so I keep that stuff in a spray bottle and use it like Benaca. No, I'm kidding. I use that for sanitizing surfaces and my hands and so forth, because I can feel relatively certain that what they're selling in the liquor store is actually not wood alcohol. So please be aware of that. But again, we know how many Americans, maggots, misuse things based on what Nitwit Nero says. And given the toxicity, which Flavio helped us with last night, helped us to understand, one oleander seed is like a massive dose of digoxin, and it will stop your heart. Well, I have a fear, because I don't like to see anybody suffer, that we will have a rash of people dropping the hell dead because they took, well, I bought his pillow. I like his pillow real good. I reckon that them oleanders must be some nice flyers. Yeah. So then, and thanks to Sparky sending this along. Well, Anderson Cooper got Mike Lindell on his program to talk about oleandrin, the snake oil that is the most potent poison yet posited by these goons. Okay, cowbell. Scott in San Diego says, regarding your vodka in a bottle mouth spray, wouldn't the olive or lemon peel clog up the nozzle? Yeah, you know what happens? What really sucks is when the toothpick gets shot out that nozzle and lodges back there where my tonsils used to be. Ow! Yeah. But it's not vodka in a bottle, Scott. It's grain-neutral spirits. and it is 75% alcohol, whereas your average bottle of Wolf Schmidt or Putinka or Trump vodka or anything is 40% alcohol. So there's 35% more alcohol in that bottle of whatever the hell, Everclear. And really flammable. Just saying. Anyway, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow freak. Imagine you come up with some bullshit design for a pillow that you mostly hustle to the unsuspecting and undiscriminating. And the next thing you know, you've convinced yourself that your business acumen confers upon you a knowledge of medicine greater than that of actual trained medical researchers. Well, here we are.
Dude, this has already had all its safety tests, and it's before the
sir,
FDA.
That is just a complete lie. That is just a bald-faced lie. It has not
not. And when you're proven wrong, Anderson, you're going to have me back on your show when everything I'm saying is
truthful. Has it been tested in animals,
truthful?
Sir? Has it been tested in humans and peer-reviewed studies?
It's been tested
studies?
In humans. 100% of tests has been done in humans. And
studies,
it's not published
studies.
Yet, but the FDA has it right now. You just don't know about it because you tried to take a narrative and tried to hurt me and the president and Dr.
Why
Ben Carson.
Why wouldn't you publicly... Why shouldn't the public be able to see these alleged studies that you
claim
exist?
Ask the FDA. It's with the FDA right now. I don't know what you want me to do. It's been sitting with the FDA since.
Did you give them all the copies of the study? You don't have one that you read? You said you read one.
All I'm doing is telling the public it works. I 100% believe in it. And it saved my family and friends' lives. It saved my family and friends' lives.
You said you read the study. I want you to see. I'm following up. Did you actually read the study?
The one that I read was the 1,000 people they did the safety test on, okay. Which has been done since 2016.
Where were people tested? Who conducted the study?
You'll have to look. I don't have it in front of me, but it'll come out. Maybe you should investigate that.
You don't remember anything about what you read?
What's that? 1,000 people, a safety test.
Okay,
it's
besides 1,000
like
people, you don't remember anything about the study.
Yeah, absolutely. When you test a supplement, when it goes on the dietary list, they do studies of how much you can take before you start getting side effects.
Hold the hell on. Supplement? Supplement? And therein lies the rub. Give me a second. I take some supplements. I'll be right back. We'll have a couple of minutes of dead air. Just a second. No, hold on. Let me. Yeah, okay. I think I got another way of doing this. I don't have to run and grab my bottle of vitamin C. I think there's another way. Nope, I'm going to have to do it a different way. Dead air anyway, huh? Let's see here. There it is. And I'm just using Amazon Smile. Statements regarding, and in bold letters it says, legal disclaimer. Now, what did Mike Lindell just say about supplements? I mean, granted, he was screaming and talking fast like a carnival barker, but still.
Remember besides 1,000 people, you don't remember anything about the study.
Yeah, absolutely. When you test a supplement, when it goes on the dietary list, they do studies of how much you can take before you start getting side effects.
Okay, are we clear on that? Again, I'm working for Amazon, but you can see it anywhere. Any seller, purveyor of dietary supplements. Legal disclaimer. Statements regarding dietary supplements have not been evaluated by the FDA and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or health condition. To be clear, this oleandrin is not a, it's not being proposed as a therapeutic medication. That is an entirely different process by a long shot. That's years and years of stage one test, lab, stage one, stage two, stage three. This is a dietary supplement made of something that one seed of the flower can kill you and, well, if you want to cut it up into pieces, several other people, deader than Pharaoh's house cat. Dietary supplements. Statements regarding dietary supplements have not been evaluated by the FDA and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or health condition. Right. Weaponizing the Dunning-Kruger effect, not knowing what you don't know. Flavio says, why do they even have the guy Mike Lindell on CNN? Aren't they popularizing him through controversy? Aren't they martyrizing him? Anderson Cooper, what the fuck? I might just jump right out there and agree with you, Flavio. Except for the fact that this is one of those moments where you have to let the guy do himself in. Because then you can say, make no mistake, any portion of the oleander plant is fatal to humans. Hi, Trump voters. Fatal. Two syllables. Big word. I know. It means it will kill you. It does not matter how many times Donald Trump or Ben Carson or the MyPillow dude says otherwise. It will kill you. Because they saw what happened with disinfectants. And the CDC announced a dramatic rise. Various state poison control centers saw poisoning reports go through the roof. Lee in New York says, Mike Lindell, where did it work? In his dreams. How will people feel when they follow his advice? Like they're in a nightmare. Good night, Mr. Pillow. Giving us only fluff. Well played, Lee. Remember Orrin Hatch? Scott in San Diego says, we have him and others to thank for blocking past efforts for dietary supplements not coming under the jurisdiction of the FDA. Oh, I know, and that was supposed to be all about freedom, right? So that with a whole bunch of brands, all you can do is hope that you're actually that what you're buying is actually what it says it is. From an Axios article. Steve in New York points out to us, there is no public data showing oleandrin has ever been tested in animals or humans for its efficacy against COVID-19, but the extract has shown some evidence of inhibiting the virus in a non-peer-reviewed laboratory study. That non-peer-reviewed part is the important part. It has been shown again in things that are not recognized by the medical community as being dispositive of shrinking some cancer tumors. But as I pointed out last night, COVID-19 and cancer. And of course, as I noted, when I first saw the story over at Axios, my old DJ brain clicked on the word oleander. And I immediately flashed to Steely Dan's My Old School. Oleanders growing outside the door. And the rest of it. I, however, and you, we, are not maggots. So we're going to have, and Billable Rick picked up on the oleander reference too. What is the full thing there? Let's see. My old. No, I don't want my old Kentucky home. God damn it. My old school. Oleanders growing outside her door. Soon they're going to be in bloom up in Annandale. I can't stand her doing what she did before, living like a gypsy queen in a fairy tale. Well, I hear the whistle, but I can't go. I'm going to take her down to Mexico. She said, oh, no, Guadalajara won't do. So the song is about a heartbroken guy. And your daddy was quite surprised to find you with the working girls in the county jail. I was smoking with the boys upstairs when I heard about the whole affair. I said, oh, no, William and Mary won't do. I did not think the girl could be so cruel, and I'm never going back to my old school. Oleanders growing outside her door. Soon they're going to be in bloom up in Annandale. I can't stand her doing what she did before, etc. And so, because those were some genius lyricists, you've got a poisonous plant running parallel reference-wise with a girl who broke the guy's heart. So, oleanders. Probably not a lot of rock and roll songs out there about oleanders. But that's what happens inside the old DJ brain. But there's something else. And you always have to take into account Emery and Marvelline sitting in their matching Barca loungers watching Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and hearing Oleandrin. Hey, what's that, Marvelline? Hey, Emery, they've got a new drug to fight the COVID-19. Oh, that's wonderful. I knew Trump would do that. Hey, what is it, Marvelline? My hearing aid battery's going. Well, mine is too, but I think it's something made out of oleomargarine. Really? We've been using that for years. Maybe that's why we don't have the Rona. Oh, I don't know, Emery. It could be that our oleomargarine isn't going to do the trick. We might want to run right out and get some of this stuff. Oleandrin. Oleo. Wait, wasn't that what the guards in front of the witch's castle were chanting as they marched back and forth? As Toto and the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow and Dorothy all looked down over the rocks? Weren't they marching back and forth singing, Oleo? Oh, Oleo, oh no. Wait a minute. It'll show up in a QAnon conspiracy any minute now. Because everything can be part of Q. Proof? Ha! It just so happens that I got it. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Because, as noted, if you thought the teabaggers were crazy, if you thought the maggots were nuts, wait till you see what happens with Q. And, of course, it's a story about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is one of several Republicans who will probably wind up in the House of Representatives as followers of QAnon. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is apparently also a poet. Yes. Oh, because of course. What is this generation? What is this generation? Are you not entertained? While you slumber and play, the creature has you chained. You hear my voice of anger. You see that I'm enraged. You think I'm alone. Yet the battle has been staged. Behind me are millions preparing to fight. My voice is not the lone voice in the night. While we slumbered, while we slept, the enemy crept. Enslaving us $21 trillion in debt. They spoke promises and delightful words that tickled our ears. Yet behind closed doors, they plotted our worst fears. They toy with our children in plain sight. Yet truly they are the thief in the night. While we labor and sweat to pay taxes each year, they vote themselves raises, so they'll never shed a tear. Our good men and women volunteer all these years to foreign lands they have gone and endured nightmarish fears. Their blood has been spilt, their lives taken away. How much blood will it take to hold jihad at bay? Yet our Congress carries on without batting an eye. They open our borders and America lets out a big sigh. Illegals flood in and our system is strained. How many invaders will it take for our dollars to be drained? Up rose a leader from the people within. His purpose is great. To expose the swamp creature's sin. Yet the creature slithers and continues to lie like the serpent of old, the dragon refusing to die. Where are the people? This is their fight. Will they arise to wipe the enemy from sight? What is this generation? Are you not entertained? What will it take for the giant to be unchained? In this land of freedom, our amendments could die. Will you sit idly and watch them go by? Will you be the generation that tells tales of old to your children and your grandchildren how you watched America fold? Or will you awaken and arise from your sleep? Or will you not be bothered to utter a peep? The clock is ticking. The time is near. There's so much at risk, so much to hold dear. The enemy is plotting and planning our demise. The people are enraged, are fed up with the lies. You hear my lone voice and think I'm alone. Yet the revolution is rising up to rip them from their throne. Our percent may be small, It may be but three, but against 535, it's plenty to bend their knee. Socialism, communism, one world government, they try. Death to tyrants and traitors is our battle cry. For we are the people, the giant within. We are going to make them pay for their sin. Our country's great gift, sweet freedom we love. We will not go easy, for our Lord is from above. On belief in our God, this country was made. Our Constitution drafted, ratified, and laid. Our foundation is strong and our footing secure. Jesus, does this thing not end? This great battle brewing, our country will endure. What is this generation? Are you not entertained? Rise up, old glory. Break loose and fight to be unchained. Oh, fuck it. Burma shave. This woman. This woman's going to Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to draw a congressional salary, have health care that is the envy of the world. She'll have security and a humongous budget. She'll have various offices around her district in Georgia and her office there in whatever house office building she gets assigned to. And if she lasts long enough, she'll have a pension for the rest of her natural born days that'll keep her comfortably ensconced. And the leadership of the Republican minority in the House cannot bring itself to say that that a freak like her has no business in government. That no one who espouses Q has any business anywhere near the levers of government. Of course, as Lee in New York points out, the letter Q itself is a Star Trek reference. The Q storyline was a big one in Star Trek The Next Generation. Lee points out, Q is powerful and dangerous. Q cannot be trusted. Q cannot be controlled or stopped. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Yes, Q does know everything, and yet is flawed. Live long and prosper. Live long and prosper, Lee. Yeah. How hilarious that these assholes have been punked by a Star Trek character. Robert in Australia, stealing lines from Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Spoken to the audience after a massive slaughter. Well, and you know, on her Twitter thread, there's a picture of Russell Crowe in the arena. Jesus. And by the way, we have Scott to thank for the fuck it Burma shave. Thank you, Scott. And a note coming from Cynthia. While looking up stuff related to treating sciatica amidst so many people and friends telling me I should do this or that, I came upon this website, sciencebasedmedicine.org. Oh my, says Cynthia, bookmark it. Having worked as a chemist years ago in the medical diagnostics industry, I've always believed in evidence and science-based medicine. If anyone wonders about any wild claims about this treatment or that, I'm sure they can find good, reliable info here, especially when it comes to fending off snake oil treatments, and especially from otherwise smart and well-intentioned friends. I have many who believe in alternative crap treatments in spite of their education. Sigh. Well, the magnificent Australian performer, and of course the magnificent Australian performer's name does not come immediately to mind. Tim Minchin. Had a brilliant quip one time about alternative medicine. He said, you know what alternative medicine that's been tested and proven to work is called? Medicine. They take the alternative off of it because it's been subjected to rigorous medical testing. Scientific testing. The scientific method. And if it withstands that, it becomes medicine. Yeah. And now, as Dave number 11 points out, the QAnon creeps, fucking idiots, as I pointed out, have a couple of nights ago, have hijacked the hashtag Save the Children, which was started by an organization called Save the Children and has nothing to do with QAnon. But now they use the hashtag Save the Children. And as Dave number 11 points out, hashtag Save the Children equals I'm a moron. Then, as David in South Carolina Stan points out, there's the story of the woman who killed her fourth husband. From the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, she killed her fourth husband with oleander tea, antifreeze-laced Gatorade, and she's still sentenced to death. The story goes back to 2017. It's the story of Angelina Rodriguez, who claimed that in 2004 she had not received a fair trial. Well, the California Supreme Court disagreed. They upheld her death sentence. It was 2000 when she put antifreeze in his Gatorade in order to collect his $250,000 life insurance policy. I guess for flavor, she added a little oleander just to be sure. Two months before, she had insisted that her hubby, 41-year-old Jose Francisco Frank Rodriguez, take out a $250,000 life insurance policy. And then she insisted that he make her the primary beneficiary. Yep, that's what Mike Lindell is encouraging people to take. Does this dumb bastard not have a lawyer? Because if you've got a lawyer and you're out there touting that people take a deadly poison, there's some degree of liability that has to attach somewhere along the way. He's not a talk show host. Now, there's a talk show host exception for Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and Limbaugh and Bernie Goldberg and all the others that have encouraged not screwed down too tight right-wing radio listeners to go and do violence. We talked about that last week. Tiller the Killer. Tides Foundation. Second Amendment remedies. But Mike Lindell, no. So, let's go back to the clip and listen to a little bit more of the takedown.
This was 50 times more was given to people that had pancreatic cancer.
If this is does make it onto the supplement list, if this wouldn't, this would be sold as a dietary supplement, that's how you'll skirt this. You won't be able to actually say, you won't actually be able to advertise it as for COVID-19, correct? You would just put it on as a dietary supplement, and by going out and doing a lot of publicity.
Yes, 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 and yes. It'll be the new colloidal silver. Remember, Jim Baker got sued by any number of attorneys general for hustling colloidal silver as a COVID-19 cure?
You would just hope that people would use it off-label, believing it had COVID benefits, and you will profit financially. That seems to me the theory.
Nobody said it's going to happen. Or it's in for both, or it's in for an IND, which we're waiting on. The FDA knows it passed every safety test. They could give it this today on the dietary list. We would like the IND, which we applied also for the drug side. And they've been waiting.
Why should the FDA be wasting time on something like this? Has no proof of anything.
And of course, Mike Lindell shows up, sport coat, some sort of button-down shirt, but instead of a tie, of course, he's wearing the cross upon which our Savior was crucified. Anytime I see one of these hypocrites doing that, I always think of the late, great Bill Hicks, peace be upon him. Who talked, and you know, he was raised Baptist, Bill Hicks was. Talking about how, well, we just wear the cross just to remember Jesus. I said, well, I guess that's okay. Kind of makes you think that maybe a bolt-action rifle hanging on a necklace. And, of course, Jackie Kennedy Onassis was still alive back when he was doing the bit. He said, yeah, just remembering JFK, Jackie.
Military actually looked into this, tested it, and said, you know,
and
what?
Anderson,
it's inconclusive.
Anderson,
we're not going to do further testing because it's a waste of time. We have more important things
to do. No, that's not what they said. The FDA is doing a fine job, like the president said. They're the ones that have all this. They're
well,
doing
that is what the
diligence.
Military said at Fort Detrick. They actually did test it. They said it was inconclusive and that they are not doing any further testing because there's a lot more important things for them to be looking at.
No, the FDA has gotten everything from the company. They've gotten everything. Tests you don't get to see right now because you're not the FDA, Mr. Anderson. When it comes out,
Mr. Anderson. Mr. Anderson's last name is Cooper, of course. This guy's so upset, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow freak. He sees an opportunity to get even richer. More money. Because no matter how rich he is, he's still not rich enough. Which, of course, begs the question.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
But it's not about that. We proles don't understand. It's not about eating better. It's about having more power.
You got to see it.
IND. You know, I'm going to ask you this.
You got to see a study, but you don't remember anything about it. You don't remember who did it.
Mr.
You don't remember
Anderson,
what their control group.
What do you think I'm on here for? If you knew yourself that coming on and getting this name out there, desperate people, why are you trying to discredit a thing that works? Why, when we have such a great
because
president
no
that
evidence,
brings all
sir.
Private sector companies into this and to reach out for all solutions.
Because
all
you're a snake oil salesman telling people, take this product. You're desperate.
You know, I've kept, I'm not Mr.
calling
Anderson,
names.
I'm praying
you're
for you. I don't call you names. Mr.
Anderson. He keeps calling him Mr. Anderson. I'm not calling you names, Mr. Anderson.
Listen, I don't call you names. I don't call your network names. Why are you attacking me? I just want to help people.
Because you are telling
lives.
People who are desperate to take something that is unproven,
no, I didn't tell
potentially
them. I'm not
dangerous,
them.
And
I'm
you have no evidence
to
back
take
it up.
Anything.
It's kind of morally bankrupt.
The only thing I've done is I've given it to my friends and family to save their lives. And I'm not telling you to take anything. I'm telling you when
you
the FDA approves it.
You want to get it on shelves for people to take.
No, when the FDA approves this, it's going to save millions of lives. And we just...
Okay, it's going to save millions of lives. Sure. So you're going to give it away for free? Is that it, Mike Lindell? Are you rich enough to give it to everybody in America because you're so convinced? No? No, you want to make a profit? Oh, you're just a capitalist. Never mind.
Just hope it gets out there fast, that they get the approval done for the IND. I just want to see people save lives and get back to normalcy in this country.
Ah, normalcy. Man, this guy's a walking Archie Bunker.
So that we sit here with crippled as a country, and here's the solution. That's all.
You know, I think when a lot of people hear, you know, I know you're the finance chairman for President Trump in Minnesota.
No, I'm campaign chairman for Minnesota. Okay. With the horrific things that have gone in Minnesota. I'm so glad that he appointed me because I'm going to get the word out of how bad our government has been in Minnesota. Right. Our governor and mayor that started this whole thing with riots.
With riots. Man, I didn't even hear the gears grind on that one.
Bad decisions.
What people find upsetting is that because you have the ear of the president, you are put on the board of this company and get a financial stake in this
product. That's a lie. I don't have the ear of the president on that.
You were put on the board of this company, and you have the ear of the president, you were put on the board of this company. Well, that's a lie. I don't have the ear of the president. I don't have his ear at all. In fact, I've got my little tongue right. Never mind.
You didn't help arrange a meeting with the president and folks in this company?
The task force did. Ben Carson's on the task force. I was in there. He was.
Oh, sure. Blame the black guy now.
In there,
you took it to Ben Carson. You got Ben Carson to go with you to the president.
No, Ben
Carson
was informed of this on Easter Sunday. He's part of the task force. Anything I hear good out there, I bring it to the task force.
You attended a meeting, though, with the president and Ben Carson and people from this company, right?
One person, and then in there, and he just wanted to be informed, like he does on every good cure.
So
anything that's out there, our president reached out and wants to...
That's the reason you were brought into the company, because you have the ear of the president.
No, you can get a meeting.
You're willing to promote this and make all sorts of claims.
No, the company brought me in because they said, our passion, this amazing small company full of great Christians, and they want to help humanity.
Not just ordinary Christians, great Christians. Not your garden variety Christians or your... go to church on Christmas and Easter Christians. No, these are your
great Christians. You know, like I was talking about, the ones that love Israel more than Jews.
They came to me knowing I know how to scale something to the masses and get it out to everyone as soon as the FDA approves it.
You know how to sell something. You know how to promote a product.
No, I don't need to sell it. This will be out. This will be out. I won't need to sell this. This will go out to every hospital, and every person that needs help. When the FDA approves it, it'll go out to everybody. I don't have to go on TV and do a commercial for it. It's going to help the masses. And you know what? You're probably
going
to want to take it yourself. You're going to probably want to...
Oh, you know, there have been some Anderson Cooper moments over the years. You know, we still refer to the Calliope. But you are going on TV, and you are promoting it. Oh, I don't think I can take any more. God. Megan says, well, shit. We're going to go with oleander for COVID. Why not just break out the Atropa belladonna? At least that has medicinal properties. Yeah. Scott in San Diego is working on a jingle for MyPillow and oleandrin. Oh, let's see here. Now, a little bit of background on some of the letters and so forth that he was babbling about. This is from the comments to the video. FYI, an IND is a request to the FDA to allow human testing. There is no legal human testing before it. And thanks to Ralphs for pointing this out. And there is no supplement list except the one warning of dangerous ingredients. Plus, no supplement is permitted to be sold or advertised as a treatment, prevention, or cure for any disease, period. The safety of supplements is not the purview of the FDA. Individual companies are expected to determine that for themselves, I guess for the rest of us. It's kind of terrifying that he says that the president wants to hear about all possibilities, even for people who have literally no expertise in anything. One more. How did it save Pillow Guy's life and his friends' lives? And this matters. If they weren't already sick. Yeah. Kind of blew right past that, didn't he? Lee in New York says, it'll save millions of lives. Doesn't he know that his beloved Donald Trump said that COVID-19 is almost gone?
Just a few embers to put out.
And Suman sends along a graphic from The Matrix. You know, the guy in the glasses. Anytime someone says Mr. Anderson, I immediately remember the villain from The Matrix. This fucker thinks we're in The Matrix and that he's Neo. Yeah, only if Neo's Jesus. And I think there have probably been PhD-level papers written on that. Snake oil cures. James in Illinois says, you're going to see him pushing anything and everything that will make the maggots think that the Don is on our side, and then nothing. Once the election's over, you won't hear another word about cures, about COVID, about nothing. If he wins, he's hitting the links. If he loses, he's going on the conspiracy tour. But the healing will end. They will no longer give a shit about the pandemic. Well, how many news stories are there out there that point out the fact that COVID Caligula has been so over the whole coronavirus thing for months? No, they're actively encouraging the spread of the disease, of course. Today, having been in Minnesota and Wisconsin yesterday, he went to an indoor event in Yuma, Arizona. It was to be a celebration of
the wall, the big beautiful wall.
Well, the maggots were all there, LARPing and smolicking, grabulating and lollygagging, spraying and spewing, hooting and hollering and barking. Hardly a mask to be seen in a county that is in the top five in Arizona for infections. Yeah. And no social distancing. They were packed in like little diseased sardines. And I don't know if they realize it, but all those red hats they're wearing aren't gonna protect them from the virus. The President of the United States is actually encouraging super spreader events wherever he goes in this country. Jesus God. Flavio, with a bit of a warning, the FDA may just approve it. Isn't there a Trump crony there? I lost track of all of them. There's a Trump crony everywhere. Flavio's reaching for a blast from the past. Oleandrin, the new hydroxy cut. Remember hydroxy cut? God, that was advertised incessantly on TV. And then people started dying from fucking organ failure. I had to dissuade a friend who wanted to lose weight by taking the hydroxy cut. By then, there were class action lawsuits. Well, and some are more dangerous than others, but it's all part of a giant hustle. Hydroxycut, sure. Super Beats, too. That's why for several months here, every evening we had a new supplement from Horn Nutraceuticals. Some people didn't get it. We were parodying, satirizing every for-profit broadcast that was pimping this bullshit to an audience that they apparently thought was desperately credulous. Interesting damn noise. Stand by. I'll be right back. Jesus, you try to do a little radio show. At first it was gunfire. And just now it sounded like there were very angry hornets buzzing around the studio. Oh, for fuck's sake. But yeah, that's... people are desperate for things that they think will make them better, never realizing that that is something that capitalism is designed to, well, capitalize on. Hopes, dreams, fears. Albert in Rhode Island says, Bob, that MyPillow guy is going to get totally wiped out financially if people actually use it. Now we need to convince Trump to test it out. At one of his rallies, of course, he also needs to hand it out at the rally. Well, see, that's the thing. Unlike hydroxychloroquine, which is an FDA-approved drug for certain uses, again, I repeat, this is a supplement. And a supplement doesn't actually have to do anything. That's why I read what I read a little bit ago. Statements regarding dietary supplements have not been evaluated by the FDA and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or health condition. You order B-complex. Or go out and buy B-complex. It's going to be labeled with that. Vitamin C. It's going to be labeled with that. Vitamin D, labeled with that. Vitamin E, labeled with that. Calcium, labeled with that. Magnesium, labeled with that. DHEA, labeled with that. CoQ10, labeled with that. Garlic extract, labeled with that. Because that is what the industry wanted. They didn't want to be held to the rigorous standards of science. They just wanted to sell shit to people. This is sort of kissing cousins with an industry probably more rife with fraud than any other commercial sector. By the way, Brother Deacon Ace is saying, see, this is why you need to revamp Horn Nutraceuticals, Kincaid. There are abundant spoils in that grift. Oh, it's a good dollar. A good dollar. And Les, by the way, says, regarding oleander dosages for maggots, don't wise up the chumps. I know. I know. But that's the thing. Oleandrin may not even have any oleander extractive in it. Because, see, you can call it something and not really have any of it in there. You've just got a gelatin capsule with some vegetable oil, and, well, there you go. And, you know, maybe one gazillion, because it's so poisonous, one gazillion parts per gazillion. And that way it doesn't hurt anybody. You charge a princely ransom for it and make bank. Well, that's true. David in South Carolina, Stan, points out, the maggots will take poison, but they won't wear a mask. Yes. It seems like cognitive dissonance to you and me. But to them, there ain't no proof that a mask is going to stop nothing. But I got me one of my pillars, and I ain't never slept better in my life. So I know that anything he does is going to work. Because, you know, if a doctor tells them to take a pill, well, if they can afford it, they'll take the pill. But masks cover their faces and keep Jesus from being able to recognize them. See how it works? It's a beautiful thing. Our buddy, the Angry Architect, up over down under in Australia, says, Horn Nutraceuticals, my favorite was your Brass's gas can. We bring this back. It was funny. Oh, I thought, well, I tried hard to make them all funny. The universe just dropped one in our laps one evening. It was the summer of 2017 when we learned about Alabama sex clams. That was during the desperate runoff race between Roy Tola Moore and Big Luther Strange. And the Florence Times Daily fucked up their headline after Roy Tola Moore had been outed as an alleged pedophile creeper. And the headline read, Sex Clams, Royal Campaign, or whatever. And so, in short order thereafter, we were pitching via the hardworking scientists of Horn Nutraceuticals, Alabama Sex Clams. And so there's a question. How is it? And I'm not criticizing anybody. This is a neutral question. How is it that a broadcast that relies upon hustling bullshit snake oil to its audience is somehow more legitimate than a broadcast that relies on the community itself to keep the broadcast going? I say this because a long time ago, obviously before he got all dead, back when Nova M Radio was still a going concern, Ed Schultz derided what was going on at Nova M because they existed on a subscription basis, and they were also selling some supplements too, by the way. But Ed Schultz, who sold God only knows what, Ed Schultz referred to Nova M Radio as bake sale radio. As if somehow he were doing something more professional because his broadcast involved not actually having to broadcast anything for about one third of every hour while some sort of fucking commercials ran. How is it that being a salesperson makes one better at offering news and commentary? Because I can't find any connection there whatsoever. And I am monumentally more comfortable with what we do here because apart from being a bit of a smartass and pitching Horn Nutraceuticals there for a while, tongue-in-cheek, spirit of fun, We don't deliver the members of this community, the people that I thank every night for sharing the precious finite time of their existence, your existence, with me and the rest of the community. We don't try to leverage that to hand you off to somebody to sell you something. Because I think this conversation is far more valuable than simply as a vehicle for sketchy commerce. Does that make sense? Because it does to me. Remember, asks Jeremy in Vermont, remember how Billow claimed all the books he wrote during the now 19-year-long war in Afghanistan were smash hits, only to find out the boxes of them sent to troops were burnt to stay warm? Well, you know, anytime a wingnut writes a book, if it shows up on the New York Times list, it's got that little dagger beside it that shows bought in bulk. It's not like it was being ordered by bookstores. It was bought in bulk as a form of wingnut welfare. Jeremy adds, Ed Schultz was always mad because he couldn't be Rush. And I mean that in terms of sales, not the truth. Oh, bless his heart, not to speak ill of the dead, nihil nisi bonum and all that. Ed spent decades trying to be Rush before he realized that there was no future in it, and suddenly had a road to Damascus moment and discovered that he was actually a liberal after all. And, you know, that's just another one. That's another one of those little differences. Because, oh, there's a lot of people out there that are doing talk or, well, they're not doing conversation radio like we do conversation radio. And they'll say, well, you know, I used to be a Republican, but I can never say that. Because I've never been anything but a Democrat. I'm not a recovering Reaganite. Meanwhile, over at Amazon, and the question is, why is this allowed to be sold? Being as how is it is a libelous statement. They're selling funny parody Biden, Harris, Joe, and the Ho T-shirts. All kinds of different sellers on Amazon selling Joe and the Ho T-shirts. Thereby making the statement, and the person wearing the T-shirt making the statement, the allegation, that Kamala Harris has engaged in prostitution. Which, as melanoma has shown us, can be actionable. I bet you that thing's not on the UK Amazon site. Or maybe it is. Thanks, Dave. What do you think, says Ron in Raleigh. QAnon candidate Marjorie Taylor Greene is sure to have a seat in Congress. Wonder what committee she'll be assigned to. I'm guessing the Intelligence Committee. Imagine Marjorie getting read into intelligence briefings. Oh, my God. Well, there aren't any safe committees for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Homeland Security? Nope. Intel? Uh-uh. Ways and Means? Oh, no. Judiciary? Don't think so. Which kind of points out, as I said before, the utter lack of scruples on the part of the Republican Party. Before she won her primary, the Republican leadership were endorsing her opponent in that Republican primary. And after they won, and before she won, they said they were appalled by the things that she had said. Their appallment apparently faded significantly after she was declared the winner. And now Kevin McCarthy says things like, well, we're looking forward to working with her and with all the other Republicans that are going to be freshmen in the coming Congress. Right. Flavio, exercising his rights as a master of the art of word knowing, says people are desperately credulous. Remember, credulous comes from Latin, credo credere, credi creditum. It means to believe, which was also the most, credo was the most dangerous word in the Latin language. The only thing that's keeping me, Flavio says, from grifting is scruples. Otherwise, this country's got the most lax laws on earth, almost as if they equate hustling with free speech. Well, advertising is considered a form of free speech. Well, another college has bailed out. Michigan State announcing, thank you, Dave, in South Carolina, Stan, Michigan State announcing that it will go to online-only instruction and moving away from face-to-face instruction. Oh, this is gonna upset the maggots in Michigan. President Samuel Stanley said in a letter to students, given the current status of the virus in our country, particularly what we are seeing at other institutions as they repopulate their campus communities, it has become evident to me that despite our best efforts and strong planning, it is unlikely we can prevent widespread transmission of COVID-19 between students if our undergraduates return to campus. So, effective immediately, we're asking undergraduate students who plan to live in our residence halls this fall to stay home and continue their education with MSU remotely. While a vast majority of our classes already were offered in remote formats, we will work the next 2 weeks to transition those that were in person or hybrid to remote formats. The thing is, there are exceptions. The College of Law, the College of Human Medicine, the College of Nursing, the College of Osteopathy, and Veterinary Medicine are all excepted from that ruling, as well as some in-person graduate programs in other disciplines. And then, of course, Michigan State, which had a raft of problems in its athletics departments, said, Michigan State student-athletes who are engaged in practices or workouts can return or stay on campus this fall. Spartan Athletics will continue to follow medical advice and local guidelines regarding the most current safety protocols and procedures for all team activities. In other words, the student athletes, well, they can just stay and get sick. And today is a momentous occasion. Today is the 100th anniversary of American women getting the right to vote. This day in 1920. So today, Nitwit Nero, I'm not kidding, pardoned Susan B. Anthony. Talking about how it was
so unfair
that she was prosecuted, what, in the 1870s? You know why, you know, when you get right down to it, you know why he did that? Because there is a fetus fetish organization that is named after Susan B. Anthony. You know, we had the Susan B. Anthony dollar for a while. That flopped. People don't, Americans don't want dollar coins for some reason or another. No idea why. But the maggot White House is chock-a-block with religious goonies who, when they hear Susan B. Anthony, think of that fetus fetish organization. And this was a bone thrown to them. Nothing is done by this bunch that is not de facto calculated to secure some bizarre, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing gang of freaks that still support him. Right? And so, not a lot of time left in the program this evening, but we do have, we're at 3:40 to go. Steve still has that challenge on the table for some new listener. Somebody, or not new listener, but somebody who's never contributed to the program before. He's even willing to make it $10 to make it easier for people. So $10, $15, if you've never contributed to the program before, you want to kick $15 in, Steve, or 10, and we'll double it. And if you send me your address, I'll send it to Steve, and Steve will send you a half dozen guaranteed bona fide New York City bagels with cream cheese. Yum, yum. Because Steve knows where all the good bagels are in New York. Okay, roger that. Correction, says Ron and Raleigh. 100 years ago, white women got the right to vote. True. Absolutely true. And Ron says the dollar coin failed because vending machine makers refused to retool their coin boxes. Yeah, I remember seeing some that says, except Susan B. Anthony dollars or except Sacagawea dollars. There were a few, but not many. All right, let's see what's on Scott's mind. Hey, Scott.
Oh, hell, Bob, what isn't on Scott's mind during any given call? Are you kidding me? You should know by now.
You want a pure grain alcohol spritz?
Oh, yeah. Open one. Oh, man. That's like a Banaka blast, baby.
You know, you make me think, though. I don't want to reduce the content of that stuff, and I really do. I use it on hands. I use it on steering wheels. I keep it in the car.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be nice just to, like, you know, take a peeler and put a little strip of lemon or orange peel down in the bottle.
Oh, yeah, a little flavor, a little essence to it.
Not flavor.
Well, not flavor, no.
Aroma. Essence. Aroma.
Aroma. Well, all right, aroma. What do I know?
Odour. We'll even use the U, Mr. Boston, like the rest of the world does. Odour.
Odour, yes. I was thinking of a pharmaceutical we could make a bundle on, a birth control device that a lot of lonely men swear by, no acetol.
Oh, believe me, my the people who fit my clothing tell me that they think I've been taking that for years.
Yes, what happened to your ass, Bob? And, this Mike Lindell, even before he says anything that he may go on to say, do you remember Queen? No, you're too young to remember the original Queen for a Day. Do you know the premise of the show?
Yeah, I think I do, yeah.
Okay. My great-great-aunt Emma used to love that show, and when she was...
Oh, it's a great-great-aunt Emma story. Yay! Yes. I love great-great-aunt stories.
Would you like to be queen for a day? Well, and they would trot out these poor blue-haired women. Each succeeding one would have a more tragic sob story to tell. And then toward the end of the show... They would superimpose basically what was a VU meter that you find in any radio station that basically indicates level. Whatever the programming is that you're pumping out, the needle will move, and if it moves up into the red, you've got to adjust the volume. So basically they would superimpose the VU meter in front of this poor woman going down the row, each poor woman. And the audience would applaud. And the level that the VU meter, the applause meter, reached indicated which lucky old broad would get crowned queen for a day.
And they easy with the broad language, okay?
Well, I'm sorry.
I realize you're a product of your time and your generation, but let's take it easy on that.
Some of these...
Dame is probably out, too.
Well, some of these unfortunate... women were fairly broad beams. That's what I meant.
Now, see, you're still commenting on appearance. If you wouldn't say that about a guy, yes. Don't say it about a woman.
Well, Rush Limbaugh.
No, don't look for the exception to the fucking rule either, okay?
All right. Well, anyway, one of these kind blue-haired ladies, the guy would come out, they put this beautiful velvet cape, robe, whatever, around her shoulders, and they put this big old crown on her head, and they take her up to a literal throne, and she would sit down, and then the announcer would intone $10,000 worth of fabulous prizes to the woman who had become
queen by virtue of her for a day.
Exactly.
$10,000. Look at all these wonderful prizes. No, that's a later program.
Well, and you can find videos of them on YouTube. It was reality television back in the day. I don't know who came up with the concept. Well, it was on radio. It was on radio back in the day, hosted also by Jack Bailey, who was if you watch these videos, you got to figure that old Jack before airtime was taking him a nip or two behind the partition.
Well, wouldn't they announce?
Oh, you would have to, just to ease your mind enough to take the damn money and do the damn job, Bob. But anyway, would you like to be queen for a day? Well, yes, I would. In fact, sign me up. I can tell you a sob story. Jesus, come on. But but anyway, getting back to Lindell, okay, if we must. After he speaks, it's the volume. You put that applause meter under him and Mr. Anderson, and they're going to put a robe on that man. They're going to put a crown on his head.
Years and years and years ago, I mean a lot of years ago, I was involved in a production of a one act play called Lone Star. It's a comedy, and it's part of a pair of plays.
Is it a sheriff?
No,
sheriff.
The
is it a spice adventure?
No. You're not helping.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
So the one act play was called Lone Star, and the other play that went with it was called Laundry and Bourbon.
Laundry and Bourbon.
And Lone Star was about a pair of brothers in Texas, and it was named after the beer, the famous Texas iconic beer, Lone Star.
Yes.
Yeah. And it took place outside of Angel's Bar, out back.
Uh-oh.
And there were two brothers, Roy and Ray. And Roy was a recently returned Vietnam veteran. And Ray was his brother who never went. Football knee, he claimed. Well, Roy apparently had a hard time, and Roy was having a hard time being home. And there's a third character in the play named Skeeter Fullernoy. There's actually a point to all of this.
There always is.
And Roy goes out back of Angel's Bar every night and gets himself righteously intoxicated drinking Lone Stars. And he likes to have him some nice salty popcorn from inside there at the bar at Angels, and he has him and he has a Mars bar. But eventually Skeeter Fullernoy enters, and of all the many things that Roy hates, Skeeter Fullernoy is way up at the high end of the list. And at one point, Roy looks at Skeeter and says, "You know what? I hate you. I hate you. Everybody hates you. I bet little bitty babies that haven't even been on Earth more than a day or so would hate you on sight." And the first time I ever saw Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I did this play in 1986. And, you know, some lines still stick around. And the first time I ever set eyes on Mike Lindell, I thought about Roy's estimation of the hateability of Skeeter Fullernoy.
Yeah. And it fit.
Right, because it just little bitty babies. Just hold the baby up to the TV screen, and the baby will cry.
Yeah, indeed. But it's the volume. You could be making the most reasonable point on Earth, which he never does, by the way. Because otherwise, if he were making reasonable points, they'd make you stop and think and say, "Gee whiz, Bob, he's right." You know, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't engage in that.
Not in a million years. He's, couldn't.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
No, and he's got talking, but he works in some Jesus and works in some Trump.
Yeah. Oh, God. You got to have your Trump.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was secretly the genius mind behind Trumpy Bear. Remember when we were talking about Trumpy Bear?
I don't know.
It was a sort of Trump-resembling teddy bear that had an American flag tucked inside its back.
Oh, okay, yeah. That would be just the project that would appeal to him, and he's already got the fucking pillow factory.
And he's good at scaling things up.
It sure is, Bob. I sent you the link, the Google link to the patent for the MyPillow.
Yeah.
Do you know his backstory? Are you aware of this man's? And I believe in redemption.
No, I don't. Possible. I don't. By the way, Lee in New York says, subject line: Queen for a Day. How does Scott know it was a beautiful velvet cape? It was broadcast in black and white.
Oh, but you could tell. It was on ABC television. Jesus, they don't scrimp.
Look at this beautiful velvet cape.
I believe there was in the mid-50s.
The places you take this program, honest to God, it will be talking about Car 54. Where are you any minute now?
Yeah, well, there's a holdup in the Bronx. Never mind.
What's wrong with me? Why do I do this to myself?
You can fire up the old thing and look at YouTube, and there's a couple of full episodes of Queen for a Day. And it's just, it's priceless. And it brings back fond memories for me of a long ago time when, you know, when I was happy and innocent and there weren't no COVID and Congress got shit.
I'm going to go do a spritz of, my hand sanitizer Banaka in a minute.
Or you could fix yourself up a Charles Dickens cocktail, Bob. You know the one I mean. One with no Oliver Twist. Anyway, Mike Lindell.
Jesus, please.
Had substance issues, as we all did, from one time to another. Honey, bring me my substance.
In Mike Lindell's case, the brown acid never wore off.
Well, I don't know. I forget now whether it was meth. I'm just working from memory.
Yeah, screaming and the fast talking, I'm guessing meth.
Yeah, whatever it was,
That is not the voice of a Quaalude guy.
No.
Ooh, I made you snort. Winning.
Well, that's the carryover condition. We couldn't afford cocaine, so we'd chop up Quaaludes real fine, Bob, and try to snort them. And you never get a chunk from now and again.
Yeah, you know, I tried snorting coke one time, but about drowned.
Yes, indeed, that carbonation will tear your nose.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how them rock and roll stars manage it. I couldn't take the tickle.
Well, that's why Dr. Pepper's so misunderstood, Bob.
Wait. Steve from Georgistan has decided to help. You could smoke.
No.
The Quaaludes, you could smoke them, too.
Oh, God, I guess you could. Well, anything flammable, Bob. I mean, you know, you can take a MyPillow and rip that shit up.
That's what it is. The maggots are wasted on MyPillow.
The best night's sleep in the whole wide world.
Dude, you got any pillow?
But anyway, this poor guy was strung out on something. Or maybe it was a shitty attitude. Who the hell knows? But he had him some problems. But then you know what happened, Bob? You know yourself. He got a crucifix around his neck. Actually, they're not crucifixes. In Protestant religions, there ain't no Jesus on the cross, because to have him still there would be to imply that he did not come down and get buried in a borrowed tomb and rise again 3 days later, which was interesting as hell, because if he was crucified at noon on a Friday, noon on a Saturday is a full day. Noon on a Sunday is a full day.
That's full day, too, and he's up on Sunday morning. That means, he snuck out.
He sure as hell did. And there was a guy in a robe standing there with a sheepish look on his face explaining to the women who had come to anoint the body, and they knew something was up, Bob. They knew. They couldn't help but know.
Stockton Larry helping out as the research department in the chat room. My pillow guy was a crack addict.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's great. Yeah, he comes across like one. But that's the point. The thing is, there's got to be, now I'm not a doctor, but we have all from time to time met people who were strung out on various and sundry things over the years.
Some of us have even been that person.
That's right. And sometimes these people who overindulged just a wee bit more than they should have, will have carryover effect for the rest of their lives. And sometimes it'll come across in their ability to process information. Sometimes it comes across in their communication. You know? And that's just the roll of the dice. I'm lucky that I got out with as few impairments as I did. But you can tell by these series of calls from time to time that I didn't come out totally.
There are some lingering after effects, yes.
Yes, there sure as fuck are, Bob. There sure as fuck are. But anyway, you can tell he doesn't have a valid point with his talking deal there because he's screaming his fucking nuts off, you know? And that's just frightening. And that's Trump. I mean, he comes by it honestly.
Well, it's a variation on the same theme, Scott. Whereas
Alex Jones,
crackhead pillow guy, raises the volume and starts screaming. Well, the same effect with Nitwit Nero when he gets challenged to say, excuse me, and he'll just keep talking. Excuse me.
I will be so happy. I've come into the kitchen because I need my substance of choice, my coffee.
Can you hear me? All right, we're going to avoid the tinkling and the dribbling, all right?
No, but can I at least rinse my spoon, Bob? I mean, come on.
You do have a thing for sound effects, don't you?
Well, I come by it honestly. I'm a child of radio. I ran out of the yellow sweetener, so now I got to use the pink until I can hurl my mangy ass up out of the Barca lounger.
See, we've got the spoon tinkling.
Well, the coffee doesn't stir itself, Bob.
Well, if you put the dry coffee in the bottle, what are you putting in there? Sugar? What? Sweetened low?
I put a little sweetener.
Yeah, put that in the bottom of the dry cup. Pour the coffee on top of it. No stirring required.
All right.
See, that's how that works. Yeah, I got a little pissed off earlier today. I don't know what the hell's going on with the supply chain. I don't drink a lot of pop. Mostly I drink water. I've been on kind of a kick where I was pouring those little flavor singles into the water, and then I read up on those, and those things might as well be made with fucking Roundup. apparently, they're loaded with maltodextrin, which is, of course, the solid version of high fructose corn syrup. And then sucralose on top of that. So I got to wean myself off that shit. But once in a while, I like to have a bottle of pop, can of pop. And I'm decaffeinated. And I'm not a particularly big fan of Sprite, 7-Up, ginger ale occasionally. What I like is caffeine-free Diet Dr. Pepper. I also like caffeine-free Coke Zero. Can I buy either one of those anywhere within 100 statute miles of where I live? Fuck no!
Well, you're in the same boat that I'm in.
With the diet really? Right, yeah.
With the diet right.
But I can get the diet right, I'm just not a fan.
Well, yeah, I know, because it's got Splenda in it. And you don't do
Splenda. Well, no, I just don't care for the taste. I mean, I like the caffeine-free Coke Zero because it tastes like old-school Coca-Cola. Goes flat a lot faster, but it tastes like the real thing. Sorry, unpaid slogan mention.
Well, see, my only problem with any of, virtually all of the diet sodas, they got rid of saccharin years ago. Then they brought it back, but it was too late for the soft drink industry because by then they had found aspartame. But I don't like that. I feel the same way about that as you feel about the yellow sweetener, the sucralose.
Well, I don't necessarily dislike it. I don't dislike sucralose. It's the fact that these little drink singles not only have sucralose in them, but they've been helped along with some dry version of high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
And that shit's terrible.
Insidious.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There was a documentary, I believe, about it, or maybe it was a segment on Nova or one of the science shows on PBS several years ago about the background of the corn syrup industry, the high fructose corn syrup people. And you know that they were supported on both sides, or they supported both sides politically, so they could get this shit into the food change.
Right, and people and people may think that
the system.
People may think that, you know, we're just clowning around. No, not entirely, because the business with supplements. I got a link from David in South Carolina, Stan, a little bit ago, talking about, you know, how we've got Orrin Hatch to thank for that, and it's true. But generally speaking, labeling as a sort of broad category is under attack and has been under attack. So, for instance, I've got this little thing of Sunkissed Lemon Lime Singles to go. Unpaid product placement. Now, what they will take
now
time
this,
to now
this,
what?
Wait a minute. This is stuff that you pour into a bottle of water,
right? Yeah,
and shake it up to get a one serving of a.
Yeah, it's like a sugar
cool
free.
Drink.
It's like a sugar free Kool-Aid.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Zero sugar, caffeine free. See, they can manage to tell you that on the little envelope, and they can also tell you see outer box for nutrition facts, not labeled for individual sale. On the other side, they take the time to write War and Peace to tell you how to tear the top off this little thing and dump it in a bottle of water. But on the actual thing, can they tell you what's in it? Oh hell no! You still got to have the box.
Yeah.
So you go to the box, and it says citric acid, natural and artificial flavors, maltodextrin, aspartame, contains 2% or less of the following: magnesium oxide, caffeine, gum acacia. Caffeine? Fuck.
Wait, didn't you say it's caffeine-free?
Well, yeah, the lemon lime is, but the orange isn't. Son of a gun.
No wonder you can't sleep. It's not just Trump keeping you up nights.
I've been poisoning myself. Well, I mean, yeah, Bob, you're drinking that shit. You're poisoning yourself. But anyway, the thing is, if you know the rules for food product labeling, the thing there's the most of is what comes first.
Yeah.
And the less there is goes further down the list. So in this Sunkissed Orange, the primary ingredient is citric acid. Then there's natural and artificial flavors. Then there's maltodextrin. Then there's aspartame. And both of those have little, let's see, adds a dietarily insignificant amount of sugar. That's what they say about the maltodextrin. Bullshit, because if you watch your sugar points as a diabetic, this stuff will drive you crazy.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And so, you know, we go through it at holiday season when we all go to the grocery store and play that wonderful American game, where the fuck did this turkey come from? Or, more importantly, where the fuck has this turkey been?
Yeah.
And we wind up with stories like last week about the damned onions.
Oh, God, yeah, the fucking... Salmonella, is that what the issue was?
Right.
Yeah. And even to the point of the onions from that batch that were processed into powdered onion, based on flavor.
Yeah.
Did it go that far? I thought it did.
Well, it went as far as potato salad and macaroni salad and various and sundry ready-to-eat foods. God, I think so-and-so's proprietary market fresh quiche. And all that shit had to be yanked. And so you're glad they can at least trace the supply chain, but you understand that if corporate America had their way, and, you know, if the libertarians had their way, it'd be every person from themselves, and hopefully the free market will keep you from fucking being killed by your dinner. And that's part of why I like to make my I like to cook food for us, you know, here at the house. Because if I'm going to fuck it up, at least I know whose fault it is. I don't have to trace a food chain to a supply chain to City of Industry, California. which I always thought was damned interesting.
I
always thought City of Industry, California was a damned interesting name for a town, but I have a feeling it's not really much of a town. It's literally a bunch of processing plants or warehouses or
warehouses.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, getting back to the deal with the high fructose corn syrup, I wish I could remember now where I saw that film or documentary or whatever the hell it was, because it spells it all out. But if you look at, like, home movies that were taken in the 50s and 60s and even into the 70s and compare them with you know, iPhone videos taken in the last 20 or 30 or even 40 years, people are fat fucks. I mean, I am no, you know, slim, svelte, you know, a sprig of a lass or a lad, you know. But there are some people who ingest all of this stuff, and it does tend to be bad for you in the sense that the substance itself may not harm you necessarily on its own, but it causes changes in your chemistry and your your body's ability, you know, for self healing, you know. Do you get what I mean, or am I?
I do, and I can make this even weirder. So I had the ingredient list from a box of Sunkissed Orange. You know, I went deep into this because I found something. Hey, no cow. And you know, then you read the ingredients like we're going through here. So I got a thing of Welch's low-calorie drink mix cherry pomegranate, naturally and artificially flavored. So it's obviously coming from a different company because they've got a different labeling model for their box. Maybe not. Jesus, who can tell anymore? Anybody's guess, really, but I checked the ingredients. Citric, in this case, there's more maltodextrin in it than there is, there was more maltodextrin than there was aspartame in the Sunkissed Orange. This, however, is citric acid maltodextrin sucralose, natural and artificial flavors. Jesus, you got to get past all the sugar before you even get flavor. And then all the stuff. But here's what jumped off this box and yelled and barked at me. They're proud of this. Now, again, this goes back to the labeling wars. Because corporations will go to the mattresses to keep from having to say, hey, we feed all kinds of gross crap to the cows to make them produce more milk.
Yeah.
So you get voluntary labeling of, And even then, you know, you got a nice the pound of butter or whatever it says, produced without RGBH, you know, which is recombinant or RBGH. No, that has nothing to do with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Recombinant bovine growth hormone.
Yeah.
And then they have to put under it, of course, just because it's not produced with recombinant bovine growth hormone, we are required to say that doesn't mean it's a better product. Because the people who feed recombinant bovine growth hormone to cows had a SAD.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the exact opposite. I mean, I'm never buying this shit again. I may throw this away. Because they're proud of it. This is a drink mix for maggots or something. Because in bold letters, let's say, manufactured by the Jet something company, or Gel Cert company, tiny print. And
Gel Cert, yeah.
Yeah.
Gel Cert, knockoff Jell-O sort of thing.
How would I know?
And they,
manufactured by the Gel Cert company, West Chicago, Illinois, 60186 USA. Welch's,
I believe,
and
they make Flavor Aid also.
Welch's and the family farmer owned banner are registered trademarks of Welch's Foods Inc. and used under license. 2016 Welch's. Then there's an 800 number. I don't know why. Maybe if I just want to talk about him, talk to him about the, you know, if this was a different radio show, we'd call. But it's the bold letters underneath all that that just jumped out at me. Now, again, this is Welch's Singles to Go. No aspartame, damn you. Cherry pomegranate. And at the bottom of the box, they proudly announce, produced with genetic engineering. You know, maybe if I drink enough of this shit, a baby's arm will grow out of the top of my head.
Be the first on your block.
Because they're not required to say that. The food and beverage industry has raised 17 shades of multicolored hell to keep from having to tell anybody that they're, you know, made with Roundup. What? But the maltodextrin probably was made with Roundup Ready corn, which means it's been hosed down with enough Roundup to float a battleship. Never mind.
Well, you get.
They don't have to put that on there. They're proud to put that on there. Yeah, yeah. By God, you vote for Donald Trump. Who wouldn't want a little baby Trump growing out of the side of their neck from drinking Welch's cherry pomegranate produced with genetic engineering. This is a genetically superior beverage mix is what this is.
That's a little baby Trump growing out of your side of your head, something that Harlan Ellison would have come up with, Bob. That's a nightmare fucking scenario.
I think you're right.
And now the ball caps don't fit. Well, we're going to have to retool.
wait. Marvelline had to cut a hole in my ball cap for little Trump. Right above my left ear, right above my right ear.
Wave at the folks, baby Trump. Wave at the folks. Jesus, drive my
fuck
mind.
You.
See, he's already talking.
Excuse me. Oh, God. How the hell did we get here?
I don't know, but
I don't know.
This all explains Marjorie Taylor Greene's poem about... Are you not entertained?
Oh, man.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to be said for a program that, well, I mean, we got 8 minutes left in the program. Those eight minutes could have been eaten up by ads for Super Beats, and we never would have had to talk about genetically engineered cherry pomegranate drink singles.
Well, we had a deal here a cycle or two ago, an election cycle or two back, where the state got to vote on labeling requirements for genetically engineered, and it went down in flames, as I recall.
Oh yeah, they took that. The food and beverage industry took that out behind the barn and beat it plumb to death.
Sure did, Bob. My sir. I don't know, man. I missed the first part of the program.
Got a lot of nerve, man. Got a lot of nerve thinking you're going to pass proposition says we got to tell people if we put gasoline in their milk.
I watched the the Democratic unconventional convention last night. Now, the first hour did very little for me except to make snide remarks. It just seemed a little too packaged, if you know what I mean. But when Bernie came on, followed in quick succession by Michelle Obama, that was some dramatic television, I thought. You know, hour number two was spectacular. Maybe they had to work up to the spectacular part. But I just, you know, and Michelle laid it on out there. You know, she put it in as stark terms as you can possibly get your head around. You know,
do you suppose that they know that it's, I mean, and this is a question of intent, but in things legal, matters of intent are matters significant. Do you suppose they know that, say, her speech was going to be good for, 10 points on his systolic and 5 on his diastolic?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, everything that you see on your television is so heavily researched and analyzed and
focus grouped within an inch of its life. Yes.
Exactly. This stuff is calculated. The playing field between now and Election Day is the space, the otherwise empty space between Donald Trump's ears. That's where the game is taking place. It's a that old ancient Oriental book, The Art of War. It's quoted a lot in business. Well, there's some fucking Jedi mind action going on, going up against Trump. They are playing in his head. They're playing in his voters' heads. They're playing everywhere like that. And hopefully it'll work. You know, what was really concerning me, though, was the first hour of that thing last night. And maybe it was the first night jitters or whatever. But about midway through, I said, Jesus Christ, I've seen more passion with Ron Popeil pitching his Showtime rotisserie and saying, set it and forget it. I mean, we've got to get, and I wouldn't expect red meat, you know, I mean, but some bright pink salmon or even some multicolored tofu would be good from our side. Because we've got to be in this thing.
Produced with genetic engineering.
Yeah, well, there you go. But I just, maybe it was the first night, and they weren't quite together. And it is what it is. I like that she used that term. You know, this fucker is not only in over his head, confused to a fare-thee-well, but it is.
And that's
is.
The thing. They didn't say anything. Well, they worked within the parameters of her "we go high when they go low" message.
Yes, and that was the brilliance of it.
And yet, at the same time, if there was any doubt of the fact that he may have started out 6 feet tall, but he was about 3 inches above the floor, and I'm talking about his head, by the time she was done. I mean,
the great thing about it. If that sort of thing, if you do it right, you leave your opponent with no alternative.
Well, Scott, that's the thing. They knew there never was an alternative. They knew what they can read him like a book. And so they knew he would be throwing a fit today. And that's kind of that was kind of what made I need not be lectured about, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend and the dangers thereof. But when when the Lincoln Project popped up with that one tweet that said, "We go low so you don't have to."
they really did that.
Yeah, they tweeted that. and the hashtag DNC2020.
By the time Election Day gets here, he will be twirling around like a fucking dervish, like a goddamn wet ferret.
Like a wet ferret. No, that's good. Wait a minute.
I'm telling you.
Well,
Bob,
you know where my prediction stands. We every day we draw a little closer to that moment where he starts taking off his clothes.
Yeah. Running through the fountain down the south lawn with the Secret Service in tow. Saying, "Stop, Mr. President, stop."
Oh, no. He'll be standing at the podium at the convention. He'll loosen the tie, the jacket will come off. There's dinner yet to be had in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone, and I'm not going to do that to anybody.
He will do an Arthur in that movie, Michael Clayton. Have you ever seen that movie? It's on cable. You can see it and watch it on demand. Who's the hunky dude? The Democratic George Clooney is a lawyer for a sleazy firm. And I'm being redundant, aren't I? Michael Clayton. It's a great movie, and the first scene is one of their lead lawyers in a deposition, interestingly enough, against a weed killing company and its effect of its product on the well water, the groundwater, Yeah, watch that fucking movie, boys and girls. But Trump will pull an Arthur, whatever the character's name was in the film. In the deposition, he starts undressing and ranting crazy shit. You know?
That sounds about right. Well, Scott, great, we got it. We got to get. Oh, man, we've covered some ground, but we got to get out of here.
We certainly have. And I'll leave you with this one question, Bob. Would you like to be queen for a day?
Really? Was it really gaudy? Was it really pomp and circumstance?
I swear to Christ it was, Bob. You look it up. Yeah, after you hang up, go on to fire.
Oh, no. I'm gonna go do some hand sanitizer spritzes. That's what I'm gonna do.
Oh, but you gotta see beats it.
Beats the fuck out of Oleandrin.
They could bring back that show, Bob, and it would be the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire of the 2020s. I'm telling you. Get fucking Howie Mandel in there. That's just crazy, that fucker right up.
Oh, wait, you know? You're not going to believe this. Hold on.
What?
Your neighbor Glenn in San Diego, subject line, queen for a day. My mother was an actual queen for a day. The church ladies in our neighborhood in San Diego would often organize bus charters to Hollywood to attend the various daytime TV shows. On one occasion, schemed without my mother's knowledge to get her on the show, and what do you know, but she was selected queen for a day. The show always knew ahead of time who would be selected so that the gifts would be relevant to the sob story of the recipient. My mother's backstory was that she was raising 6 children while caring for my dad, who had been stricken with polio during the great epidemic. Being a working-class family to begin with and living in times before Medicare or Medicaid, we were not exactly living in the lap of luxury. I'm sure there were plenty of items that we could have used in our household, but being only 8 years old at the time, the only thing I remember getting was a bunk bed set for my brother and I, who were sharing a bed at the time. He and I were thrilled about that. One thing I remember well, however, was the embarrassment and humiliation I felt while watching that show and then having to go through those feelings again while going through the Inquisition in the schoolyard.
You know, maybe they duplicated prizes, but I believe either on the YouTube or on the DVD of some of the surviving episodes that's available, I believe that episode has been retained on video.
Well, you will perform the necessary research to determine that, I trust.
I will. Wow. No, there's your small world right there. What's so fucking cool about this show.
This community.
For anybody who's wavering about kicking in $5 or $10 or whatever to keep this fucking show going, and I don't mean just because of the fun that I try to bring to the enterprise, but just the great information and the way that it all connects. See, this is why I'm a big believer in we are all actually connected on this planet, and we damn well better start behaving as if we are. Otherwise, as I often say, we're all screwed. So there, that'll be my serious thought to close.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Scott. And there are some thanks to send out. Our buddy the Angry Architect up over down under in Australia just took us down to 3:15 for the evening. So thank you. Thank you, Angry. Much appreciated. Scott, every one of these is a little gem. And we will go seeking diamonds in the dung another evening, shall we?
All right, man.
All right.
Take care, Bob.
Later now. See ya. Our buddy Scott in San Diego ran a little bit over time, but that's okay. So thanks to those of you who jumped in this evening to help out. Thank you very kindly indeed. Thanks to all of our subscribers at PayPal and Patreon. Thank you. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to all of you who share the precious finite time of your lives engaging in this little ongoing conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, and thank you, Steve, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Raring to go, Mike Malloy comes your way at HeadOn.live in about 55 minutes, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Stick around for that. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. But always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And please stay home if you can. Do whatever you can to stay safe. If you have to go out, maintain your social distance, wear your masks, wash your hands, wear your gloves if you've got them. And for God's sakes, if some blonde lady comes bellowing toward you, hooting about, "Are you not entertained?" Avoid her like the plague, because she is. Later, y'all.